Yud Zayin Kislev, Sunday the 29th of November, Rabbi Joseph Perlman. Underlying issues between Yosef and his brothers. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored by Family Bloch, Le'ilu Nishmas, Rabbi Yitzchak Yehuda, Isaac Engelman, Oliver Sholem.
Shalom Aleichem, everyone. Nice to be back. And this week's Sedra is about Yosef, that's my name, so it's a very, very poignant topic. And the question I want to look at is what happened? And what lessons can we learn from Yosef and his brothers? Now we know they were tzaddikim gemurim, no doubt about it. We know that Yaakov's mitosa shlema, you can't blame anybody. They were obviously tzaddikim gemurim, but nonetheless, something went wrong. And there was a machlokas. You can have a machlokas l'shem shemayim, that's wonderful. People can argue, but clearly something here was not as it should have been. In fact, it's been pointed out that the word toldos can be spelt in four different ways. In this week's Sedra, it's spelt without the first vav, but it does have the second vav. Now, the word toldos occurs twice in Tanakh with both vavs. One, when it says, Eilu toldos v'shamayim v'aretz behibarom, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, that was perfect. It had two vavs. The other case where there are two vavs, anybody know it? Well, it's the very end of Megillas Rus, where it's talking about the Doiris from Peretz, Yehuda, from whom Mashiach will come. That will also be perfect toldos. But everywhere else in Chumash, there's either a vav missing in the beginning of the word, in the shayrish of the word, or in the end of the word. So, for example, it tells Yitzchak, he has a vav at the beginning, but no vav at the end, because if the vav is in the end, that shows accentuation of the plurality, because that's the vav tof at the end is talking about how many there are. And of course, Yitzchak didn't have many children. He only had Yaakov and Esav, and therefore, but he was a tzaddik, and therefore the first vav is there, but the second vav is not there. However, in the case of Yaakov, you've got a vav at the end because he had 12 children, he had a huge mishpacha, so there were plenty of them, but there's no vav at the beginning. Now that's unusual, and that means that something went wrong in the shayrish. Something was wrong. In Yishmael, for example, there's no vavs at all because as far as we are concerned, we know what we think of the Arabs, and basically there was no mila either in the shayrish or in the plurality. Bashenkin, in the case of Yaakov, we should have had double vav. It should have been, but no. If you look at the spelling, the vav is omitted. And that's telling us that something went wrong. And the answer is, where there's a machlokas, even if they are tzaddikim gemurim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not be very happy about it. So the question is, what went wrong here? Now, if you look at the posuk, at the very beginning, those of you who got in front of you, that I've set out certain unusual features of this posuk and put a little numbers next to it. The numbers represent one of the seven rules before you're allowed to say Lashon Hara. Now, let me just go through the posuk. Eile toldos Yaakov. We've talked about the word toldos. Yosef ben Shva Esrei Shona. Yosef was 17 years old. What do we care how old he was when this took place? We know Avraham Avinu was 75 when something took place. And there's always a message if the Torah tells us at this particular juncture how old he was. We know in the case of Avraham, although he was 75, he took Lot with him, even though he knew that Lot wanted to get the Yerusha. So that was what the message of that was. And Sarah, she was 127 years old, but she was just about to pass away. So we needed to know how old she was. But why do we need to know how old Yosef was here? And the answer is, if you know the seven rules of before you're allowed to say Lashon Hara, let's go through them quickly. One, Ro'ob Atzma. You must see the thing yourself. That means you must be sure that what happened before you say it. You can't just make it up, say, oh, I heard somewhere. You've got, if you want to say that somebody's done something which he shouldn't do, you must have know about it properly. Second, you must be Don Lekaf Zechus. Always think, maybe there's a good reason why the person has done it. It doesn't look right. It looks as though he's been Mechalel Shabbos. He's just got into a car. Oh, but maybe it's Pekuach Nefesh. Maybe there's some reason why he had to get into the car on Shabbos. So we've got to be Don Lekaf Zechus before we decide he's done an Aveira. Thirdly, you're not allowed to go around telling everybody else until you've given the person Tochocha. Check. See with the person, maybe he'll do tshuva straight away if you tell him you're not supposed to. Maybe he didn't realize you're not supposed to do such a thing. Therefore, you've got to be mochiach. Mochiach is a very complicated subject as to how you give tochocha and who gives tochocha and so forth. But you've got to do tochocha before you can mention it to anybody else. Four, toelis. You can't just schmooze, that mentions a grace of Rosha. That you're not allowed to do. Unless there's a real purpose. You're trying to keep your children away from a Rosha. Or there's a situation where it's necessary that the Rosha be dealt with. But if there's no Toelis, not allowed to say. That's the fourth thing. Five, Shalola Hagzim. You must not exaggerate what happened. If somebody took something in your house without permission, he went into the fridge, he was a visitor, he went into the fridge and he helped himself to a bottle of milk. When he shouldn't have done, he should have asked permission first. Ah, oh, it's a ganav. But you can't go around saying, Der Mensch ist größter Ganav in der ganzen Welt, as many people say. You can't do that. Because he isn't the biggest ganav in the whole world. He took some milk without permission. Have you been Don Lekaf Zechus? Are you sure he didn't get permission from your wife? And so on and so forth. Have you given him tochocha? You shouldn't do that. You can't help yourself in somebody else's house. That milk is necessary for some particular purpose. Therefore, you must not exaggerate. Next, l'sabeh. If you can get what you need to do without saying the Lashon Hara, then you must do that. So, for example, if there's a person whom you know you don't want in your house, there can be reasons. The person might be an undesirable fellow. He might be somebody you don't want your children to do. You can't go and tell your wife, that man is such an undesirable, I don't want him. You can say, look, we don't want to have this, but we're too busy this week. We can't have him. If there's some way that you can get around the problem without saying the Lashon Hara, you're not allowed to say the Lashon Hara. It's called l'sabev. And finally, you're not allowed to cause more injury to the person than the halacha would allow. So, for example, if you've got a headmistress who is a very strict headmistress, and if she gets certain information about a teacher, she'll fire the teacher on the spot. You're not allowed to tell the headmistress what that teacher did, because the teacher doesn't deserve fire. The teacher might deserve reprimand, she might deserve being taken to the rov of the shul and discuss what she hasn't done wrong. But you're not allowed to fire a person on the spot in normal circumstances. If you know that that's what the headmistress will do, you're not allowed. And in fact, there's a much more regular situation. If you know that if you tell somebody something, that person will tell it to somebody else, when he's not allowed to, that's also causing more injury to the person than you're allowed to, and therefore you're not allowed to tell them. Did you know that? That if you will say something to somebody, which you are allowed to say because you've gone through all the rules, but you know that that particular person will not keep quiet about it, he'll tell everybody else, you're not allowed to tell the person because it's causing him too much injury. So those are the seven rules. Now we've got to look through what Yosef did to see whether or not he kept these seven rules. So if you look at the Pasuk actually tells us many things. First of all, we are told he was 17 years old. Now a boy is 17 years old, it's very difficult for him to tell his older brothers off. He's the youngest. You're the youngest one, is not going to be listened to. You know, if you've got a younger brother, what do you think you're telling me for? Who do you think you are? You're a baby. You're lost. So, therefore, because he was only 17 years old, he couldn't really do the tochocha part himself. And the din is, if you can't do the tochocha, You've got to get somebody who's capable of doing it. Now, who's the most capable person of giving Tochacha in Yosef's family? Obviously, the father. And that's why Yosef went to the father. He wouldn't have gone otherwise if he could give Tochacha himself. But since he wasn't capable of it because he was a young boy, he had to go to his father. Now, look at the pasuk further. Hoyo roya es echov batzon. Now, the Mephoshim said, that's a funny, a peculiar expression. You roa the tzon, you're not roa the brothers. Roa es hatzon, im echov. He was shepherding. No, the pasuk says, roya echov batzon. Now, literally translated it, that is, he was teaching his brothers how to do things by means of the flock. So it doesn't mean he was shepherding the flock with his brothers. That's not what the pasuk says. The pasuk says he was shepherding his brothers by means of the flock. In other words, Yosef was a really brilliant chap. He really knew things correctly. As you know, later on he became the melech. He was the one who ran the whole world. And Yaakov knew that Yosef was the most brilliant of all his sons, represented Rochel, etc., etc. And Yosef felt that he had a duty to try to teach the brothers how to handle things. And when Yosef saw things which weren't as they should be, as we'll see, then he therefore decided, I'm going to try to train my brothers in how to deal with situations. So he was Roya Echov, he was trying to teach his brothers how to behave with regard to the sheep, how to treat the sheep and how not to treat the sheep. That's what the pasuk says. Next. Now, by the way, I've mentioned 1, 3 and 4 by the tzon. One I've already mentioned, which is the Tochacha aspect. The other aspects are that there was a toyeles in what he was doing. He wasn't just stamp saying lashon hara about his brothers. He was trying to make them for a purpose, to make them better. And also, it's telling us that Yosef was present. He saw it himself. It's just not something which he heard. So three of the seven rules are actually encompassed in that particular statement. V'hu na'ar es b'nei bilhah. What's it telling us that for? He was a nar. We know he was only 17. Why is the pasuk telling us he was a nar? And I'm not talking the Yiddish nar, I'm talking about the Hebrew nar. Who nar? Nar means a person who is not yet mature enough to be able to take things on his own back. And that is teaching us again that he would not have been appropriate person to give the Tochacha because he was only a nar. Nobody would have listened to a nar. And secondly, it's also telling us, Es b'nei bilhah, he was a nar with them, and therefore there was a purpose in what he needed to tell them. Then the pasuk goes on, Es b'nei bilhah and Zilpah, Neshei Aviv. Well, we know that they were Neshei Aviv. Why is it telling us that Bilhah and Zilpah were Neshei Aviv? Well, the answer is because one of the things that Yosef was going to complain about was that the Bilhah and Zilpah were being treated as shfachos. They weren't being treated with the cover that they deserved. And that's why the pasuk says, Neshei. He knew that they were Neshnoshim. They'd actually been given to Yaakov as equals with the other. But Yosef saw that the B'nai Leah were in fact being mezalzel with the Noshim. And that's what we're going to see. Yosef saw what happened, Ro'o be'atzmo, the way they were treating their stepmothers or the co-wives in a way which Yosef felt was inappropriate. And finally the pasuk says, Vayove Yosef es dibosom ro el avihem. What do you mean el avihem? Wasn't it his father? El aviv. What do you mean el aviv? He told their father. What do you mean? Wasn't it his father? Why does the pasuk not say el aviv? Elo, but the answer is very clever. The answer is, he couldn't have told his own father. That would have been lashon hara. Because you're not allowed to tell your own father about what somebody else is doing if there's no point. But you are allowed to tell their father. Because their father can do something about it. I can't do anything about it because I'm not capable of Tochacha. But their father could do something about it. My father is irrelevant. Their father is, it's true, it's the same person. It is the same person. But the point of the pasuk is that Yosef was going to their father. I can't give them Tochacha because they won't listen to me. And I'm too young. But their father is the right person to tell because he can deal with the situation. And that's why the pasuk says El Avihem and not El Aviv, because he could then give He will be the one who gives the tochocha. Secondly, it teaches us he knew that the father wouldn't punish the children more than they deserved, because you're not allowed to take revenge or do things which are beyond what the halacha would do. And he knew his father knew the halacha perfectly. He would do the job properly. And the final one, there was a toeles in going to the father because he would be able to do something about it. So that pasuk is really telling us that what Yosef did was perfect. He did everything correct. So in that case, why was he criticized? What went wrong? Well, if you, I don't think we're going to have time for it, but at the very, very bottom, I've given the Makoiris as to where we know what three things Yosef did. The Mefarshim, Rashi and Mefarshim say that Yosef did complain about three things. One, he complained that they were eating Eva Minachai. They were not treating the animals properly. They were doing... they were eating live animals, which of course is absolutely impossible that it was live animals. So the Mefarshim explained that Yosef held that before Matan Torah, we were like Goyim. And Goyim are not allowed to eat an animal after Shechita or a Ben Pekua, which is still alive. But Yidden can. That's halacha. It's a halacha. Maybe we don't do it for various reasons. Midrabonon, etc. But midioraisa, a ben pekua, or an animal which is geshochten, even though it's not yet dead, you're allowed to eat it. And they were eating because they said, we are Yidden. Yes, he says, no, you're not Yidden. We're still going. So that was one machlokas. And if you want to see where we get that from, you can see from the Makoiris at the bottom how we learn out that this was what was going on. Secondly, they were mazalzel b'mnei ashvachas. According to Yosef, they were treating the Bilhah and Zilpah incorrectly. They were not behaving properly with their wives, and we've seen that from the pasuk. That's the shei of it, and that's what he was complaining about. And he felt that they were doing that. And the third thing Yosef was complaining about, he felt that they were too familiar with ladies. They were doing business, and they were talking to ladies. He was very Hasidish. And they were misnagdish. And therefore, Yosef said, you're not allowed to deal with the ladies, not talk to them. It's not from a zach to do such a thing. They shouldn't be around. They shouldn't be driving cars. They shouldn't be doing things which are inappropriate in a frum environment. And they said, no, we're doing business. Why can't we discuss it with them? Now, where do we get that from? How do we know that that went on? Right? How do we know that? Well, if you look at the bottom, there are various rites. One is Xeris Shava from Ro'ah, that we saw where the word Ro'ah occurs in different places, and because it occurs in different places, we know that, for example, it says Ro'ah HaGedoyla in connection with Yosef and the Arias, and therefore we do a sort of Xeris Shava, which teaches us what Yosef was complaining about. That's what the Mizrahi says, that the Gurari gets upset. He says, you can't make Xeris Shavas of your own, and how can you do that? And he rejects the Mizrahi. But the Mizrahi does that. But one of the beautiful pshatim is that we can see from what Yosef got punished with afterwards what he must have been complaining about, because the knas, the punishment which Yosef got, has got to be relevant to what he did. And what happened with Yosef? One thing was, he was put in prison. Secondly, he was a chayor ro'o achalosu. That's to do with the eating the wrong food. And he was sold as a slave. Ever nimkar Yosef? He was sold as a slave. Therefore, that shows that he was complaining about how they were treating the Bnei Ashfachas incorrectly. And finally, the fact that he was accused of Arias, so to speak, it shows that he must have had some shevets of Arias in his past. So the Mefarshim suggest that was the reason we know what Yosef is complaining about, because of what happened afterwards. The Mesubov tells you the Sibor. And there are other Makairis which tell us how Chazal knew what this was all about. But my question today is there a clock anywhere here? No. Oh, there. You're right. No, okay, now I just want to make sure I've got in the time. So, now, the question, therefore, is why did Yosef do what he did when they were both all complete tzaddikim? Right. Now, up to now, is it number four Shim? It all seems to be fairly clear. Now, and what we've said is that Yosef complained of Eva min Achai, Mezalzel min Ashvochas, and Chashudim al Horayas. Why? Well, because Yosef, in the case of Eva min Achai, Yosef, as I said to you before, held that Bnei Noach are Bnei Yisrael, were still Goyim, and only afterwards they came Bnei Yisrael. Whereas the Ashvochim felt that they were Bnei Yisrael straight away. So that's a Yisoidistik Machlokas as to what happened before Matan Torah. You can't complain about that. What's Yosef complaining about? There's a Machlokas as to which one is which. The second Machlokas was that they were not Makariv the Bnei Ashvochas as much as they should. They said, well, they're Bnei Ashvochas when all said and done. The Akeras Abayis was Rachel, and Leah was a proper the first wife. The other two were secondary, and they shouldn't be secondary. There are degrees of covered, and they don't deserve the same covered as the Noshim do. There may have been wise, but there were still Shvachas. And the third one is that Yosef felt that it was wrong to even look at a woman. And they said, what's wrong with looking at a woman? As long as you behave yourself and you have the right kavonas and you're doing it for the purpose, it's okay. So that was the three inyonim. But how did it come to such an extent that Yosef then reported it to his father? Clearly, Yosef reported to his father because he felt that they were not doing what they should. Maybe he went as far as to find the Psach Halacha, or maybe he felt that they were so great, the Shvatim, that they should have been on a higher Madrega. So he decided to go to his father. And we've seen he's done six out of the seven things he's done perfectly correctly. However, one thing he has not done properly. The only one which you've got no right from the Pasuk, and which seems to have been omitted, is there's a din that you've got to give the benefit of the doubt. And you've got to, it says, Shelo Yachlit Tekef, is the Lashon of the Chofetz Chaim. Don't come to immediate decision when you see somebody else. Check first. Make sure there's no excuse. If you see somebody on your telephone, it doesn't mean to say that he's ganav, and he's a ganav because he's used your telephone without permission. Maybe it's pikuach nefesh. Maybe he has got permission from your wife. Or maybe he's using the telephone because of where he comes from, there is no charge for using a telephone. In New York, I believe, local calls are actually free. Is that not so? I think so. But in London, you've got to pay for every call. But that fellow may not have known that. I mean, he thought it's not costing you anything. Or, for all you know, he may have received the call. He may not have made the call in the first place. Have you checked before you call the fellow a ganav for having stolen? Have you checked? Have you given him all the benefits of the doubt before you did so? Now, well, this is where Yosef seems to have gone wrong. Yosef, did he give the benefit of the doubt to his brothers? He was machlit. He decided that they'd done averus. Now, why? Because he said, you've got the halacha wrong. In fact, we are bnei goyim. We're like bnei noach. We're not bnei Yisrael. But they held differently. Did he have a vikur? Did he discuss that with him? Or did he simply came to the conclusion like that? When it came to the bnei shefachas, did he discuss the question of whether or not it's in Taka true that the Bilhah and Zilpah were not as choshuv as his own mother and their mother? Did he discuss that? And also when it came to the Arayas, did he discuss with them, there's no issur in talking to a woman. The issur is istaklus. The issur is having the negiyah, but there's no issur in talking to a woman. In fact, if you look at the Gedolim today, there's a very, very interesting difference. I remember being in a bank, local bank in HSBC. Rabbi Chonan Halpern, Zichroina Levracha, was there. He would not look at the teller. You could see him. He would put in the money. I don't know whose money it was or where it came from. I was in the queue, and I saw him with the putting the the bank banking, and his head was turned away, so he shouldn't even see the teller. On the other hand, on another occasion, I saw Reb Chanoich, he would talk to the woman like a, he says, there's no reason not to, Adi Rabba, you've got to talk to the person, you've got to have respect and derech eretz, otherwise it can cause a problem. And both, each one had their own shitta. I'm not saying who was right. I know where I was brought up and how I would do things. Reb Chanoich was my Rebbe. But on the other hand, I do respect the shitta of the Hasidim who wouldn't even look. So where did Yosef get it from that they'd got it all wrong? That's the question. Yes, Yosef was a big tzaddik, he was machmir, but perhaps he should have been a bit more careful before calumniating the brothers for doing something which is not halakhically invalid. Ah, he said, but we are such a madrega, B'nai Yaakov, we should be bigger, we should be greater than that. So what it seems to be, it seems to have happened here, is Yosef was a terrific chosid. Chosid, I'm not talking in modern terminology of chosid, I'm talking of chosid of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And he felt that we are such a madrega that we have got to do things, lifnim mishur asadim, we've got to do things like Bnei Yaakov. And they said, no, we're ordinary people, we don't have to go beyond that. So what did Yosef do? He went to his father and he complained. But it wasn't complaint stamped to make Lashon Hara. He was trying to get the father to say, we want to raise the madrega of my brothers. We would like them. Roya Esachov Batzon. He wanted to teach them how best it is to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam in the highest possible level. But the mistake seems to have been, you can't expect from somebody else the level of chassidus and of Yiddishkeit which you've got. The other person's entitled to have the basic halacha. That is, that you're definitely got to put right. And maybe even certain inyonim, yoreh shemayim, yachmir, you've got that. But to go beyond that, that's not for you to do. And therefore, when Yosef came to his father, and he kept all the minutiae of the inyonim of Lashon Hara, as we've seen, 6 out of the 7 things he did perfectly, the 7th one he should not have done because he went a little bit too far. Or possibly that's what caused the rift between him and his brothers. And that resulted in the Golas Mitzrayim. It resulted in all the problems which occurred between him and his brothers. Don't altihi chosid harba. You don't have to be a bigger chosid, certainly on Yenim's places, than the halacha requires. And I think that that is pshat in what happened here. If I've written down at the side, Tovus Yosef, shilodonam lekavschus, kilashitosam, they were din Yisrael, kodem matan Torah, umutorim, mefarkeses, over ben pekua. 2, lo zilzul b'bnei hashfachas b'poel, there was no zilzul to the b'nei hashfachas, they kept away from them. They felt that they were not as choshuv as their parents. That's not a big aveira. And thirdly, lo haya chashudim al harais b'chlal, ki einu osur mitzad adin limkor lenoshim. There's no reason why you can't sell stuff to women. O ledaber itom, elo mimidis chasidus b'almo shelo la'asos kei. And Yosef was the chosid, they were the misnagdim, or whatever, however you want to evaluate their situation. And lechora, that what happened as a result of that was a machlokas, which therefore the Yosef had to get punished for, and we saw what his punishments were according to the curse at the bottom. The punishment that Yosef got fitted the crime. He was involved with HS Potiphar, he's accused of Arias, that's because he accused them of dealing with women. He was Nimka Le'eved, because he said that they treated the Shvachas as menial people. So you get your punishment for that. And finally, what happened with the Achilo? Kaya Ro Achalosu. They said he's been taken, eaten up by a wild animal. So Yosef got all three punishments fitting the crime, so to speak, in a way. Of course, the whole thing was Minash Shemayim, it's because of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and because of everything. Yeah, that's Arum and Arum, but we still need to learn what happened in the actual dispute. How did it come about that such tzaddikim gemurim could do that? And I think the lesson for us is, don't expect too much of Yenim. Of yourself, you can be machmik like anything you want to do. You want to fast every day, you want to daven for 3 hours every day, gesundheit. But don't expect every other yid to do exactly what you think is the right thing to do. You do what you've got to do and allow other people to live a normal Jewish life. Obviously, if a person is doing certain avera, you've got to point it out in accordance with the halacha. But not beyond that. You don't have to go beyond the basic situation. And l'chaira, that's what happened. And as I said before, as a result of that, there was a machlokas. And the pasuk tells us that the toldos of Yaakov were defective in the vav of the shoyrish. In what way? In the way we've explained. Okay.